Now, Every Day is a Fresh Beginning. Meaningful Poems for Life is a new collection of poetry, which has been chosen by Eavan Garrahy. The collection contains work from a wide range of poets, including W.B. Yeats, Seamus Heaney and Emily Bronte. And I'm delighted to say that Eavan joins me in studio now. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Al. How are you?
Very well. Thanks very much for coming in. And you've kindly given me a copy of the book here, and beautifully illustrated on the cover. Lovely hardback book. And of course, maybe I'm a bit weird, but I always smell a new book. I like that.
No,
new book smell.
No, you're not weird. I heard people talking about that in the shop the other day. They love the smell of a new book. And I suppose there's kind of an old world feel to this as well. The hardback of the pages are quite, you know, it's a lovely one to leaf through for sure.
Yeah, and I think the old world feeling is I mean, with Kindles and whatnot, I know I'm going to sound like a granddad, with Kindles and whatnot in this modern day and age, kids with their PlayStations, but it's still nice to have an actual, you know, a physical copy of a book that you can read. So what inspired you to put together this collection, Eavan? Is poetry something you've always been into?
Yeah, it's been a constant throughout my whole life, to be honest. I kind of grew up with poetry. I had wonderful teachers, and I think that can be the making or breaking of your relationship with any subject, but particularly English and poetry. And I had teachers who would literally make the words lift off the page, you know, and our eyes used to be out on stalks in the classroom when she would, like, I remember this one particular teacher, Susan Ryan, Miss Ryan, and, you know, we were so young at the time, but she managed to teach us these like 14 stanza pieces about all sorts. One I remember was Flannery an Isle, about a neglected lighthouse or an abandoned lighthouse, and I remember the parents thinking, is she mad sending this home in the copybooks? You know, it was such a massive mammoth task to get us at the ripe old age of maybe 8 or 9 to learn this 14 stanza poem, and she managed to do it because she literally brought it to life for us. One of the lines was, and an over toppled chair, and she was so theatrical, she picked up her stool at the top of the class and literally flung it across the room, you know, and we used to think this was the best thing ever, but it was moments like that. I had a great speech and drama teacher as well growing up, and it was kind of the extracurricular in my life that I just loved, I relished. And then of course I went on to train as an actor in Trinity College, and that was kind of 3 years of indulgence, I suppose. We laboured over every noun, every verse, every syllable, every consonant, playing with the rhythm and the rhyme. And that for me was a real bubble actually in my life. And then of course you leave and you're met with the harsh reality of being a jobbing actor, you know. But for me it was always there. I suppose my dad had a flair for poetry. You know, growing up he used to always put pen to paper for us and would write, you know, little pieces for us. But I suppose I neglected it for a while. It was, you know, something that I had to be in a particular headspace to fully appreciate or enjoy. And then of course life takes over, as it does. But for me, poetry and the healing power of words was something that I really kind of leaned into, I suppose, during lockdown and the pandemic. And I wasn't alone in that. I know a lot of people took great comfort and great solace from words and other people's words, and poetry in particular, because there's something about it. It sort of validates those big feelings, whether they're, you know, joy or love or elation. Or anger or confusion or frustration or whatever it might be. But for me, yeah, the poems are always there beside the bed, and last thing at night or first thing in the morning, you know, if I'm just looking for a little bit of comfort, that's what I turn to. For other people it's meditation or yoga or Pilates or whatever it might be, but for me it's poetry.
One of the things I always loved about poetry, and I guess much like lyrics from a song, is that regardless of whether you or not, you know what the poem or the song is about. You can read into it what you want. You can take your own meaning from it. You know, and I always hear musicians say that when they're asked what the song is about, they say whatever the listener wants to take from it. Kind of, even with poetry, and you know what it's about, you can put your own spin on it and create your own imagery within your head.
For sure. I mean, that's the beauty of art, isn't it? That it's so subjective. And with this book, you know, I chose the pieces I chose for a reason, and wrote a few little notes in the intro to each one, but I wanted it to be open to the reader's interpretation. And so I've left lots of room for them maybe to jot their own notes or what they might take from it. It's a very personal thing. But I recently heard Ethan Hawke talk about art and poetry in particular, that, you know, most people don't give poems any thought from one end of the day to the next. But it is in those moments when we need it It's no longer a luxury. It becomes sustenance, you know, and that's it. That's the beauty of it.
Is it something you feel that it needs a revival in a sense that, you know, poetry is seen, some people rather unfairly perhaps view it as something, you know, from their school days that they had to endure. You clearly loved it, but for others, it was a period of their school day that they just had to get through. And if they and you know, we all have those regrets when we look back at school days with certain subjects. Oh, you know, if I could turn the clock back, I'd love to be learn Irish better or engage with poetry more. And maybe this is, and it's, we'll get to the fact that the book is doing so well already. Maybe there are some people out there who they either love poetry already or they're reconnecting with it.
Yeah, there is that attitude. And I suppose my mission was with this particular book was to kind of break down that barrier that some might have to poetry and create something that's very accessible and that you don't need a degree in English to enjoy. And I don't believe you do, you know, but it was so funny when I started, like even during lockdown, I had a poetry recital series on Instagram, and Instagram is Instagram, and you know, and it serves its place. I remember asking my sisters, you know, think I should kind of bring a poem a day to my followers, I suppose. And they said, forget it. Like, it's so niche, you know, it just won't land. It really won't.
Boring.
But I said, I'll give it a go anyway. And the reaction was, I was pleasantly surprised, and I suppose that's what spurred this on. And yeah, and now I suppose the book is doing quite well after the first week. I'm absolutely thrilled. It's number one best-selling non-fiction in Ireland this week, which is very, very exciting. But I really didn't set out, you know, with any kind of chart in mind, just to as I said, create something that feels that little bit more accessible. It may be a medium that tends to get overlooked, or you know, poetry, I believe, is probably underrated. And I hope I've changed maybe one or two people's attitude to it.
I think you've changed more than one or two going by that. I mean, you know, there must be so heartening and thrilling that when you put together a collection like this, you know, and I'm sure there's a party of maybe is nervous as to how it'll be received, but it's clearly doing very well. But it must have been tough for you as somebody who loves poetry, and you know, there are so many great poems and so many great poets to choose from, you know, and you only have a certain amount of pages, so you know, you don't want to create a massive Lord of the Rings size book.
No.
So was it a tough whittling down process in terms of what you chose?
Like, there was, I certainly didn't have an issue in terms of picking great work. We have, like, and I didn't have to look beyond this island, really. Of course, you know, it's lovely to have the Brontes in there and Shakespeare and the likes. But, like, I mean, even here on our doorstep, Anne Casey, she was a discovery I made, actually, and she's a Milltown woman. And an incredible talent. And again, it was one of the discoveries I made throughout this process. And I nosedived into her work. And she is just, I mean, the way she describes West Clare and the beauty of it and coming home. And one of her pieces is in there. But yeah, actually, I might give it. Will I give it a little read? Because I do think that this is all about introducing people to you know, maybe some poets lesser known that they might not have heard of. And she is one I would just highly, highly, highly recommend. If I could find the page now, of course. Oh, I will write it. Yeah, here we go. It's on page number 30. So, a Clare woman. I Will Arise and Go, after William Butler Yeats, by Anne Casey. My people are a migrant clan, prospering not by hook or crook or craft, but by diligent labour and an easy charm, flung from one small corner across every wind-tossed sea, mountaintop to valley floor, to lay 1,000 roadways or stand on pavements grey, to explore wild tropical outposts, hold fast to frozen plains. My people are an itinerant tribe, a heathen spirit tamed not by bonds or shackles or shekels, but by music and by elegant words, though alongside our wanderlust cohabits a want in us that surges in each nomad breast to journey back again, top the last crest, to that first wide view across a childhood shore, to feel the heart leap like a salmon returned to familial waters, if only in our dreams. Yeah, it's just the way she describes coming home to West Clare. I just think it's absolutely gorgeous.
Have you thought of doing an audiobook version of this, Avian?
It's done, Al. It's done. And I'm done absolutely shocked and appalled that you haven't heard.
I will be getting it. As well as the beautiful words of Anne Casey, the way you read that was very relaxing. I think I could listen to you read a few poems before falling asleep.
That's the desired effect. That is the desire. No, I have. And that was, again, another highlight of the whole process for me was the recording of it. And look, I love poetry recitation. And so, yeah, delivering these wonderful works of art was a real joy. But it's available now on Audible, so check it out.
There you go. I would strongly recommend that after hearing that. You have been to all corners of Ireland, Avian, promoting the book and doing various book launches and signings. You will be doing one in Clare next month. Where will you be?
Yeah, we will be in the Ennis Bookshop, November. Well, let me just get the date now for you.
12th, I think, is it?
And again, a beautiful shop in Ennis at 2:30 for the signings there in the Ennis Bookshop. And it's available there now. It's also available in Easton's in Ennis. And we've just opened a pop-up shop on O'Connell Street with my other passion project, Bio, and the book is available there as well, and signed copies are in store.
Brilliant stuff. The book, again, is called Every Day is a Fresh Beginning, Meaningful Poems for Life. The collection chosen and put together by Avian Garrahy, who is also the co-founder of Bio Wellness. Avian, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Delighted to see the book is doing so well, and I'm sure there'll be a big crowd there at Ennis Bookshop next month. It is 0818 400964 to give us a call here at Morning Focus, or you can text or WhatsApp us on 086 1800 9.